Our scripture this morning will be from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this day. Lord, as we come here recognizing that all we have is yours, talents, treasures, time, all that we have is yours, was provided by you. We come today wanting to learn and to be formed about first fruits and offering back the best that we have. Lord, guide us, guide every one of us as here as we hear your word. Speak to us. And help us to incorporate this into our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen.
I'd like to share a story today that came from a writer, an author, a pastor named Leonard Sweet. Is this too loud? I feel like it's giving a little feedback. I'll just wait for the picture. So this is a story that is not mine, but it's from another writer, and it's a story about a man named James and his son Jimmy. So the father said to his son Jimmy, "I'd like to do something with you today. What would you like to do?" And Jimmy said, "I want some McDonald's French fries." Bruce says, "Me too." And his father said, "Well, you know what? I would love to do that for you. I would love to take you to McDonald's and get you some fries." So they got into his blue and white Chevy truck and they headed out to McDonald's. And Jimmy's lips and his tongue could already taste those hot, salty fries, greasy fries, right? And before they even got to the store. So they got in and his dad, James, went up to the counter and he ordered fries, and then Jimmy's ears couldn't believe it when his dad said, "Supersize them." And his dad took the money out of his wallet and he paid for the fries and a drink, and Jimmy's little teeth were so excited he couldn't wait to get those hot golden fries into his mouth before they got to the table and they sat down, and he had to just be patient while his dad said, "God bless this food, amen." And it just seemed like too many words because he was just so excited. And James was so happy to see how excited his little boy was over something so simple. So he decided to have a fry too, right? He reached across to take a French fry. And he was so surprised because his little boy did this. "My fries!" It's as if he built a fort around the fries. And he said, "No, these are mine." James couldn't believe what had happened. So he started thinking in his mind, he was thinking, "Wow. My son just said those were his fries. I'm the one that made those fries possible. I'm the one that gave the cashier money from my pocket that I earned working. I did not only buy him the fries he was expecting, I bought him supersized fries." But here he's talking about those are his. And not only did he think those were his fries, but he forgot, remember this is James, the dad, talking, that I am 6'1" and 195 pounds, and if I want all those fries, I have the power to take them back. Or, if I wanted to, I have enough money in my pocket, I could go up to the counter and I could buy my own fries. Or I could buy fries for everybody in this restaurant. My son has forgotten that. My son has also forgotten that I don't actually need his fries. I just wanted to enjoy it with him, right? So as his dad was thinking about it, really, the one or two fries would not have made a difference for him that day. But he wanted to share in the joy with his son. And his son was too little. He didn't grasp whose fries those really were. Does that sound familiar? Have any of you experienced anything like that? Maybe with your own children? Or maybe with God and you, as you being the kid, right? I thought this was a really great story, even though it's one I've heard before and perhaps you've heard it before. I thought it was a great story to begin our sermon today on living generously and stewardship. You know, last week, Apong talked about how everything we have comes from God. And we did this, the scripture verse this morning that's our theme verse. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. Right? From Psalm 24. And last Sunday, we talked about how it's not just our money. I'll move this so you can see the worship table. It's not just our money that God gave us, but our treasures and our physical bodies and the whole earth, the creation, and the time we've been given, and any gifts or talents that you have, right? So all of these things are a part of what we've been given, and probably more things, if we were honest. And we can get in the mode like Jimmy and be like, these are my gifts. This is my money. This is my car. This is my house. This is my wife. These are my kids. This is my land. This is mine, 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 mine. And we forget that really our Father in heaven is the one who bought us the fries, right? So a scripture this morning comes from King Solomon. Is talking to his son. He's passing along wisdom to his son. And I was thinking, you know, I didn't have children until I was, you know, 49, when I married Bruce. But some of you have had kids for a long time, and if you had to pick one or two things that you could tell your children that would really make a difference in their life, what would you tell them? And so Proverbs 3 is a passage, is a whole chapter where it's like, I want to pass these things on to my son. These are the most essential things, the most important things that I could pass on. And one of them is about money and our relationship to it and God. Not just money, but everything we have. So I tried to think, what did my dad pass on to me? He definitely passed on how to change a tire. He passed on looking out for the underdog, always looking out for the least of these. And he passed on, make sure you give God what belongs to God. Give God a tithe. And every single Sunday, I remember my dad planning out and writing his check and thinking about where the offering was going and how much, you know, all of that. He always did it every Sunday. And anybody that needed money in between time, he planned it out. It was part of his life. Along with King Solomon teaching his son about money. No, go back. Along with that, he also wanted to teach them, if you read all of Proverbs 3, to trust God and to be humble and to always seek out direction from God. But he also says, you know, honor God with all of your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Son, if you do that, you will live in right relationship with God and with others and with money, with your possessions. This is the best way to live. This is the best way to live. So today we want to look more at this. What does it mean to give back to God his fries? What does it mean? to give back to God a little tiny piece of what he's given us. The Bible has so much to say about this. Jesus has so much to say about it. We'll talk more about the New Testament next week. But we're going to look a little bit in the Old Testament and what it has to say about it. The Bible has lots of different ways to think about giving back to God. Sometimes it talks about a tithe. And the word tithe just means 10%. That's what it means. 10%. Tithe. Okay? It also talks about first fruit. And I like that picture, so I put it up there, right? First fruit is giving our best, not our leftovers. Here, God, here's a rotten tomato that I'm not going to eat anyway. That's good enough, right? Okay, that shows where your heart is, right? It also talks about offerings, all kinds of offerings. I mean, we're not going to get into all the details today, but lots of different kinds of offerings, like a free will offering, a sin offering, a guilt. It talks about a lot of different things. It talks about sacrificial giving, just kind of like the story that Pam told the children this morning of a widow who gave the last coins that she had. Right? It's when you give more than what you have, and it's going to cost you something. It's how God gave Jesus his son, right? Jesus gave his life. That was sacrificial giving. So the Bible has lots of different ways to think about this practice of giving back to God his French fries. So let's look at these. What do they mean, and what can we learn about them? Because we don't live back in the day where none of you are farmers, I don't think. And you don't have big harvests and crops, and you're not like, you know, giving your first fruit literally. But they were doing it literally. We're not doing it literally. Let's look more into it. And what I noticed is that even before Moses gave the Ten Commandments and like set up the law of God, even before that, people in the Bible had a practice of just giving to God. You go to the very first family, right? Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel. Cain and Abel, it doesn't say anywhere that God said, you must give me a tithe. It doesn't say that. But their response, they seem to just know that they should give. And so in the course of time, Cain, the one brother, brought some of the fruit of the soil. And then Abel brought, he wasn't a farmer. He was like a herder of animals. So he had animals, and his brother Cain was growing crops. And so Abel brought the fat portions, the best, right, of the firstborn of his flock. The first fruit is what he brought. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel. Probably, it doesn't say a lot, but probably because he gave his best, and maybe Cain was like, well, here you go. And then Cain got jealous and killed his brother, and what a disaster we had, right? But the reason I put that scripture up there is for you to see that from the very beginning, there is this response that, you know what? Everything we have is from God. We better honor him by giving some back. And Abraham, this is again before Moses, Abraham in the big story of God runs into a priest named Melchizedek. You know Melky, who's coming to join us? His real name is, he's named after that priest in the Old Testament, Melchizedek. So Abram ran into him, and he got a blessing from him, from this priest, from God. And Abram's response was, I'm going to give you a tenth. I'm going to give you a tithe. It doesn't say that God told him he had to. He just did it. And then Jacob's a scoundrel. We have scoundrels in the Bible. And Jacob's on the run from his brother and his family and what he did. And he's out there, and he's sleeping on a stone. And he has this beautiful dream. And he realizes he has the presence of God with him. And his response is to say to God, well, I don't have much right now, but I promise that I'm going to give you a tenth. I'm going to give you a tithe. I'm going to give you 10% of everything I have. From here on out. And he does. So these are, like, what we learn from this, the next slide is, what I learned from it just by studying it this week, is a principle that applies to all of us. That we give God our best as a response of love and thankfulness. Not because somebody said, you have to give money. No. We do it because, oh my goodness, God just gave us, supersized our fries. And we're going to give him some back because he wants to delight in sharing that with us. We're going to just respond. It's an act of worship. It's a way to say, I love you, God. I love you, I love you, I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Right? It's not a way to control God. It's not a way to manipulate him. Oh, well, if I give God this much, then he says he's going to bless me even more, so I'm going to buy my way into getting more. It's not the reason you do it. If it is, you got an issue, right? You're not trying to buy God's favor. The people that lived around the pagans that worshipped other gods, they had that mentality that, oh, the gods were angry. We better do something. We better give them something. We better... And you see that still in other world religions, right? But in the Christian faith, no. We don't try to buy God off or manipulate God. No, we give back because, oh my goodness, his faith and his love and his son and everything that he's given us, we just want to show him we love him. We want to just respond out of that. And then when we do that, what happens is he blesses us. But we don't do it so that he blesses us. We just do it, and that's what happens. Right? As we live that way, as we learn to live that way. Right? We don't try to buy God's blessing. We just give back. We just give back. So this is what I learned from Abraham and, you know, Jacob, the scoundrel, and Cain and Abel. I learned that that's why you give. Okay, but what about after the law? Because after the law was given, the next slide, after the law was given, God took these things. My papers are falling. God took these things, and he said, you know what? You need some laws. You need some commandments. You need some directions on how to live together as the people of God. Once I take you into the promised land, and I'm going to set some things up so that you can live faithfully, right? And that's where these things that we saw in Cain and Abel and Jacob that had just been a response, a natural response, or the way that they had been raised, actually got put into the law. And there's this example of first fruit giving, like in Exodus 23, where God says, you know what, you're going to bring the best of your first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. So that first, as you begin to harvest your crop, the very first, the best, you're going to take it. And actually the word first fruit giving meant a promise to come. And you take that in and you offer it to God as a way of saying, I'm going to give you more, and a way of trusting that God's going to bless that harvest. And then at the end of harvest, at the end of the season, when you're gathering in your big crop, you take part of that in too, right? And you offer it to God. You give your best. You don't give the little runt, you know, calf. You give your best calf. You give your best to God. Another thing that's talked about is tithes, that 10%. In Leviticus, God says, the tithe is holy. All of the tithe of the land, whether it's the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's holy unto the Lord. And they talk about tithing the oil and the wine and the, you know, the sheep and the sheep's wool. And if you read Leviticus, it talks about tithing everything. That's why we have kind of examples of everything up here, not just our money, right? Our time and our bodies and everything we are. We give back to God. And the tithes, I want to just explain this, were very specific. There were different kinds of tithes for different things. So, how many tribes, a little Bible quiz, how many tribes were there total? 12, right? 11 of them got pieces of land that they were supposed to move into. But one of them, the Levites, didn't get any land. They were to be God's priests for the people. So they had no way of growing anything. They had no way of making money because they didn't have land. So the 11 had to give a tithe so that the 12th could eat and could live. So the tithe was given to God, but it was really also given then. God allowed the priests to have it. Okay, so that's important. There was also a tithe for festivals, because you know what? God loves a party. And there were lots of parties that he would establish, and usually they were a party so that you could remember something that God had done and you could tell the story. That's why we eat together after church every week, because God loves a party, right? God loves to be with his people and loves food and created it and wants to give us fries, right? So part of it was for that. And then every third year, there was a big tithe that was gathered in that was to pay for the poor, the widow, the stranger, the orphan. It was to take care. It was a welfare system, essentially, but it was through God's people, for God's people. And it was to provide for everybody who didn't have access to the land. So they gave money or gave their food or gave their crops. And by the way, there was, I didn't know this, but if you were going to give your animal or your crop, you gave one-tenth. But if you were going to pay with cash, whatever kind of cash they had, you had to give 12%. And so we always say, well, as long as we give 10% or one-tenth of our income, we're doing good. But people that have studied all these numbers and looked at all of this, by the time they gave a tithe for the priests and a tithe for the festivals and a tithe for the poor, they were given about 25%. Just throwing that out there. Just so you know, okay? So there is this idea that God kind of set up for how people were going to live together and with him. So what can we learn from this? The second principle of giving that I saw is that giving back to God is really a spiritual discipline. It's not just, hey, today I feel like throwing in a couple of dollars. No, it's thinking about what I have been given and thinking about what I'm going to give back and where I'm going to give it and how I'm going to give it. It's being intentional. It's a discipline. And that discipline of giving teaches our minds and our spirit that everything we have is from God. Everything we have is from God. It forms us. It helps us to live more free, actually, so that our money is not so, has such a tight grip, and our possessions have such a tight grip on our heart. Right? Jesus said, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Right? And so if your heart is on all of the possessions you have and the things that are mine, then there's not really room for God. Right? So tithing or giving our first fruit, it helps set us free. It helps set our heart free so that we're not so tied into that. Now, I'm not a farmer anymore. I'm not a herder of sheep. So what does it look like for us to give first fruit? What does it look like for us to give a tithe? I've heard some stories growing up, and more recently as I get to know other cultures and Christians from other cultures, that really kind of blow my mind. This idea of a first fruit, I'll never forget when we had a graduation party for AR, and I sat there at the end when AR opened all of his money in his cards, and his eyes were getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and his father said, "You must give back the first fruit, 10%, to the church." I don't actually know if AR did it. I'm just saying, I learned from your call that was the expectation. We have a lot of Indonesian churches in our conference, and one of the practices that's from their Christian culture is that when there's a wedding, the married couple gets a lot of cash, a lot of money. The idea is that if they get, you know, $10,000, they'll take, I'm going to give $1,000 and I'm going to give it to the church. I'm going to give it to a special project. That's kind of surprising to me. First fruit. So it's not always just about your income, like your paycheck if you get paid, or your Social Security check. It's a way of life that teaches us to not hold on so tightly to what we have, but to give it back, to share it with others, to share it with God, to allow God to work through us. What do you do with your tax return? What do you do with an unexpected gift of money, with a surprise check that comes in the mail? What do you do? Some churches, if you go to, will tell you, you know what, we don't do that offering thing anymore. This is the old way of doing it. We're just going to put a box in the back, and if you can drop it in if you want to, or you can pay for it on your smartphone from your bank. We don't want to talk about offerings in church. That's some churches that I've been to. Some churches, they pass the offering plate like 16 times, or at least 5, right? In the beginning of the service, and also 10 minutes before you leave in case anybody came in late, right? So there's kind of two extremes. Whitehall falls kind of in the middle. But it's interesting how different cultures and different churches talk about offerings and how they think about them. And so we as a church have to think about offerings too and how we do it. And a long time ago, I decided, and I think with some of the other leaders, that at Whitehall we always want offering to be a part of our worship service because it's an act of worship. I don't care if you put in a dollar or if you put in a penny or if you put in whatever you put in. It's a way of reminding yourself and teaching our children that everything we have comes from God. Our money, our time, our talents. And we want to remember that, you know, sometimes it's inconvenient to give. And sometimes it's costly. And sometimes it's a sacrifice. And we want to remember that we give God our first and our best. That includes everything. For me, one of the things I was convicted about last Sunday was time. So, do I give God my best time? Or do I try to pray, like, you know, really late at night when I'm falling asleep? Do I give God my best time? It's interesting because with time, some days when I am so rushed and I'm trying to pack too many things in, right? And I'm stressed and I get grumpy and angry and all kinds of stuff. And I think, I don't have any time to just like sit and pray because I've got work to do for God, you know? And if I say, you know what? Stop what you're doing. And I sit and I pray and I journal and I just act like I have all the time in the world with God. You know what? The rest of the day just falls into place. The time just works. It's, why don't I learn a lesson here, right? I give God my best time and the rest of it will fall into place. We happen to have in this church folks from other cultural traditions, and Patoka shared with us. Patoka, raise your hand so people know who I'm talking about. Hello, raise your hand, Patoka. There you go. Patoka shared with us that in Korean Christian culture, that there is a special box, and he brought this in today, where people put their tithes and they put their first fruit giving. And then anything else that goes in the offering basket is just, you know, extra. Extra, right? Blessings. Thank you, God. Have some more fries. Right? And so he said, what if we could do that at Whitehall? Would it be okay if we would do that? So we're going to try it out for a little while. Because it's just another way of thinking about things, right? It'll help us to think about, are we giving God what he kind of asked for, which is 10%, or are we giving above and beyond? So we're going to practice that. Just think about it. Until Thanksgiving. And we won't always come forward to do it, but we're going to practice it. And also until Thanksgiving, we're going to practice something else. Because let's be honest, not everybody here has a lot of money. And so people tithe in different ways. They tithe by donating time to cut the grass or to, Debbie, by decorating extra and spending time here in the building and giving back to God that way. We give back to God in a lot of ways. And to help us remember that giving is not just our money, but it's our whole selves. So last Sunday, if you were here, there was a little excerpt in your bulletin, and there's some more back there. And put the slide up. Oh, I didn't get to that, but we're just going to skip it for time's sake. Keep going. And we are going to give to God by being a symbol of a different marble or a different color. So if you think and pray and say, God, this week I want to give you my talents. Maybe I'm going to do special music in church next Sunday. Maybe I'm going to make food for someone and invite them over. You know, I'm going to give back to you in that way. Then you can put a blue marble in the offering bowl. And we're going to use this bowl because it'll sound good to drop that in, right? Or if you think, God, I really need to think more about giving my whole body to you, my whole self to you. I'm going to think differently about how to take care of my body or how I'm going to use my body for your glory. You could put a red one in, like we all have red blood in us, so remember that. Or you can think about time. And this is what I've been working on, is thinking about my time. I didn't do so well this week. I'm going to take it again this coming week, right? So thinking about time, you can put how you're going to give time to God. You can put a white marble in. Maybe it's how you're going to take care of the creation that God has given you. You know? Green for the earth. Or if you want to think about how to use your money differently, or your possessions, your house, your car, your anything, you can put a gold one in. If you're like, I don't like those stupid marbles, I'm not doing it. There's little cards up here that you can just write on. Or just write a reminder to take home. And it just says, for wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Write your offering to God on the back of this card. So in a little bit, we're going to have our offering. But instead of passing these, right, we're going to be singing and invite you to come forward. And on your way up, if you want to put into the tithe box or the first fruit box, you can. If you want to put it in here, you can. It's okay. But this is for the marbles. This is for these things here, for sure. Okay? And so we're just going to experiment this week in thinking about how can our whole life be. And it's overwhelming to think about everything. So the Holy Spirit will put one thing on your heart. Okay? One thing. Just one thing. Try out one thing this week and see what God does. So let's pray. And then we'll have our offering. God, we learned a lot today, so many things to think about. It gets a little big. Quiet our spirits. Stir in our hearts ways in which our response to you can be one of, oh, thank you, God, thank you. I want to give back. Or it can be a spiritual discipline to set us free from the things that seem to have a grip on our heart. God, we know that everything we have belongs to you. All of our possessions, our time, our talent, our money, all of it. All the good gifts come from you. Use this time today, throughout the week. Have your Spirit remind us. And show us what it